We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Overnight America continues, hour number two, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Or if you miss any part of the show, download it. The podcast direct link is KMOX.com/overnights. Or you can also find it on your favorite podcast app. If you do the app, just make sure to click that subscribe button. It's a great way to support the show. It's all for free, by the way. You get all this stuff. Don't ask anything in return other than you to smile once in a while. Wouldn't that be nice? There's a 90s. Let me just mention this. Does every computer in our building right now make noise? I was in the office. I heard the background computer noises. Here in the studio, background computer noises. I was in Studio C, background computer noises. Do you hear background computer noises in the production, in your producer booth? A little bit. I know. Why is every computer in the building? Did my sense of hearing heighten having a day off on Thursday? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I'm pregnant. Isn't that what happens? You have like a heightened sense of hearing and things like that? I don't know. What could it be? But every computer is making a noise, and it's, ugh, I wonder why. I was recording some things in the other room, and I kept thinking, I wonder if this is going to pick up on the microphone. If you haven't seen the video of what was going on these cruise ships, I tell my wife, I don't care how appealing it sounds, we are not going on a cruise. Not a chance. And everyone that's gone on them says they love them, but I just can't get past the idea that about once or twice a year, there's a story of a cruise ship that can't dock and they have to put their human waste in a brown paper bag and leave it in the hallway because they have no other place to put it. I'm not playing those odds. You're not finding me. Not a chance. Had a great time at the Blues game on Thursday last night with producer Mike. Someone texted in. I think it was Carl was asking about that. Yes, the Wings lost. Yes, I'm going to have to pay up on the bet. Yes, I haven't announced what that bet is yet. But if you listen to Brad Young on Thursday night, he did announce what we're going to be doing, which is producer Mike is coming up with an original Bobo rap for me to rap on the air. Ugh. So I don't know when we're doing that. Tomorrow night is also a very special night. A man by the name of Mark Sargent, if you don't know who that is, that's okay. Mark Sargent is someone that was the centerpiece of a Netflix documentary that came out called Behind the Curve. It's about people that believe the Earth is flat. We've had a couple of different people that believe the Earth is flat on this radio program in the past. Mark Sargent's a little bit different. He's someone that's very forward about it. He's someone that puts a lot of videos together, and he is someone that is very, let's say, knowledgeable in his defenses of flat Earth. And I asked him, hey, I'd love to have you on. We can talk about the documentary, how you think it turned out. Can we take callers? Would you be willing to have people call in and ask you questions? And he said, sure. So tomorrow night after Blues hockey at 11 o'clock, you can ask a flat earther any question you want. I hope you take advantage of this tomorrow night, 11 o'clock. And of course, it'll be podcast today, KMOX.com/overnight. So I wanted to play this real quick. And this was on the Blaze TV. Eric Bolling signed on to Blaze TV, and Eric Bolling was a very popular person that was on Fox News. He was on The Five. He had his own show. They tried to spin it off a little bit. I didn't think Eric was the strongest personality in general, but I like him. I've always liked him. I just don't think he was, you know, solo show material. He didn't really strike me as someone that was and there's a couple of the different personalities on Fox that don't really tickle my fancy. Fancy my tickle, whatever it is. It's I'm not a Judge Gene. I don't really get into that. Judge Gene Pyro, no, it doesn't really appeal to me. But you know, I watched Eric, and he was just a little too bland for me. He was a smart guy. He's on the Blaze now, and he was, you know, at the very, I guess, the start of his show. He signed on not that long ago. I doubt he's been on more than a couple of months. Man, but time does fly by. So when they announced that he was going to be joining the Blaze, it was a pretty big deal. And he has his own show. He's able to do his commentaries. And just a couple of days ago, on Thursday, online, they released this video of a confrontation that happened with Eric Bolling. And it's actually one of the saddest things I've seen in a long time. And I wanted to play some of that video for you. And this is part of the commentary from Eric Bolling.
Each time I tell this story, my heart gets ripped out of my chest. I'm telling you this because something awful happened to me last night. I've always been completely honest and transparent with you, my faithful friends, supporters, and viewers. Last night, I was sitting with some friends at the Trump Hotel in D.C.
Let me back up, too, before he starts the story. He prefaced this based on the rough time in his life when he knew that he would be separating from Fox, and he gets a call that his son overdosed and died. And he took something, I forgot what the pill was, but it was laced with fentanyl. And it was terrible. Killed his son. And he's been very open about his fight against opioids and the problem that we have here. These things that you think are affecting only certain people also affect curious kids and all different types of people on all different walks of life. And it is hurting families. It is destroying lives. And as a parent, Eric Bolling will never be the same because of what happened. And he told this whole story leading up into what happened to him just last week.
Among several others, Hayden Williams from Berkeley was at our table. I was chatting with Hayden about him telling the story about being walloped on campus by a thug just because he was wearing a MAGA hat. I barely noticed what was about to happen. A guy who appeared to be talking on a cell phone walked by our table and turned towards us and said, Eric Bolling's son killed himself because he was embarrassed by his dad. It was a drive-by hit on me using the most hateful words a human being can deliver to a grieving father. I got up and followed this hateful moron out of the hotel. I started taping, and here's what happened next. That guy right there is the man who delivered the hate. He was walking fast, not breaking stride, even as he crossed Pennsylvania Avenue against traffic. He was weaving around cars. Now I chased him down and yelled, whatever comes to the mind of a man who just been told his son killed himself because of him. Yep, I used some bad words. Yes, I followed him, and yes, I shouted at him. But no, I do not apologize. Eric was my world, my life. He died by accident, and certainly not because of me. I loved him beyond these words. But here's some more video of that night.
So then they show, because he did not let that go. And as a father, I don't know how you could. It doesn't matter if you're a personality, someone that's in the public light. Someone walks by and says something like that to you about your kid. You don't let that go. And did he do the right thing? You know what? I can't fault him. I think any guy, any father would have done the same thing.
Hey, that's what he wants. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. That's what he wants, man.
I'm trying to tell you, bro. You don't
want
to go there.
You want to talk about my son?
Who are you?
Not me.
Who are you?
Bro, if I were you, if I were you, I'd walk
home, man.
Eric,
that's what they want. That's what they want. Eric, that's what they want. That's what they want.
My son is dead. My son is dead.
Wait, man.
Look at me.
It's not funny.
This is funny.
It's not funny.
This is funny.
It's really not.
Huh? This is funny.
That's what they want, man.
This is what I need?
That's what they want.
Come on, guys.
Sorry, man.
As you can see, there was a second guy lurking somewhere with a camera. He put it right in my face, like an inch or two away from my face. And he had a disturbing, huge smile on his face, even after I mentioned Eric Chase being dead. These men are despicable people.
Yeah. And he goes on, and there's some pretty terrible people in the world. Very terrible people that would single out someone who lost their son to opioids and laugh. Did it because he's ashamed to be your son. Sometimes you come across those stories and you say, you know what? You know, even if he would have punched the guy, you can look at that and say, I get it. He shouldn't have, and he didn't. So keep in mind, there was no physical violence. And he's not even shaming the guy. You know, he took the video, he posted the video, but he blurred out their faces. He blurred out their faces. And he explains why later in the video. We just don't have time to play it. But he said, you know what, if people found out who you were, as much of a moron as you are, you don't want to wish people putting death threats to you. So if you get a moment to check out Eric Bolling on Blaze TV, give him a try. You know, check him out. But man, it takes a lot of courage for him to share that story. I can't imagine the pain he still feels every day. Oh, I can't believe there's people out there like that in the world. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. All right, so you know how I mentioned before with the whole Eric Bolling thing and with the Blaze TV that moments like that, when you have those moments that as a father, you think to yourself, you know, if he would have reached out and grabbed the guy, I would have totally have understand. I would have understood that emotion he was going through. It's a good thing he didn't. You know, we shouldn't resort to violence, but you know what? I totally understand. There was another moment in Eastlake, Ohio, that not only do I totally understand, I don't understand why you would, one, charge this person, or two, think that anyone would act differently. In Eastlake, Ohio, a 20-year-old man has been charged after being accused of assaulting a 17-year-old boy. And on the surface, if you were to just put a period right there and say, okay, nothing newsworthy about that. I don't know why you'd write an article and why we would talk about it in St. Louis, Missouri at 12:21 in the morning. No, no reason for that. But as you continue to find out, as he was caught sexually assaulting a 5-year-old boy, Richard Adams, is it Painesville, is charged with felonious assault in the incident that happened about 8:15 Thursday night. According to court records, the 17-year-old has been charged with rape. Adams walked in on the boy sexually assaulting the child and started fighting the man. Police did not say if either of them were injured. Police have not released any further details. If you're that 20-year-old and you walk in on a 17-year-old doing that to a 5-year-old, I don't understand what other reaction you would have. Is there any other reaction that you should have besides beat the living life out of that person? Imagine if that was your kid. What are you going to do? Oh, I better call the police. You better stop that. Oh, you better cut that out right away. Police are coming. No, what else would you do to that 17-year-old? You have a duty to that child to, at that point, even if it's not your kid, if it's just a kid, you have a duty to that child to get in there, make sure that person is removed and cannot touch that kid. And then you know what? If there is some sort of physical fight or whatever in between, it's totally warranted. I don't see how a jury would look at something like this. And you, if you're a lawyer and you are going to defend this person, you're thinking to yourself, this will be the easiest case I have ever had to defend. Yeah, go ahead. Put this in front of a jury. This 17-year-old was raping a 5-year-old. This 20-year-old man walked in and stopped it from happening, and you're charging this guy. I don't understand in a situation like this why they'd even bother charging the guy, really. And I hope that this is thrown out immediately. You know, I hope it doesn't even get to the point where it goes on trial. I hope a judge looks at this. A judge looks at this, and there's some sort of plea of, I don't know, not even probation. I mean, just drop it altogether. Is there any other reasonable way to react to that scenario? Not a chance. Oh, here's one. I have all kinds of stories here. You see that cruise ship in Norway? Was it in Norway? Yeah. A luxury cruise ship that set sail. There was 1,400 passengers on this beast. This thing is a giant cruise ship. It's, what, about 745 feet long? The Viking Sky. 745 feet long. Man, how long is that compared to like a football field. Let's see, 745 feet to yards. Let's see. That's 248 yards, 2.5 football fields long, this cruise ship. Wow. The video that's been popping up online, if you haven't seen this, it is insane. So this cruise ship is like rocking so much. You think this thing's going to flip over in the ocean. You think, oh, that's it. Life's over. Yeah, it was nice while it lasted. Better make peace with God at this point. It's not too late. So the video that surfaced, you have people that are basically tethering themselves to anything that's not going to move, and they're taking videos of it. And also part of this is that it's a lot of elderly people on this. So you have a lot of old people that are not in the greatest of shape, right? They're not really good at being able to stop the boat if it rocks in one direction and sliding all the way to the other end. I mean, they basically chain gang everyone together. And you see a bunch of chairs, and you see them all kind of like tethered together, and it kind of helps it from going back and forth. And the videos just show it tilting from one side, and everything pushes to one side of the deck, and then one pushes all the way to the other. He said it's a complete nightmare. Rescue services airlifted 479 people, hoisting them one by one onto a helicopter before the weather subsided on Sunday and the tow could begin. Many of them senior citizens. About 900 people were still on board when the ship arrived back to Norway's west coast. It said it was very nearly a disaster. The ship drifted 100 meters of running around before they were able to restart their engines, which cut off during a storm. It says, a bit of a shocking experience. They told TV2 over there in Norway that meeting passengers who had been wenched from the deck of the storm. It says, most of our passengers, senior citizens, imagine what it's like hanging on a wire. Must be a terrible experience, but they seem to have handled it very well. Some 20 were injured. Viking Cruises said were taken to the hospital. Many have been traumatized by the experience. Well, no kidding. This is from Reuters. I don't know what else you would be. I keep telling my wife we're not going on a cruise. I don't care. I don't care if it's offered to us for free. I don't want to go. I don't. No thanks. This stuff scares me. Remember just a couple of years back where they actually got the cruise ship back to the dock, but they weren't allowing people off. And there were people stuck on this thing for days. They were going to the bathroom inside of these little paper bags because the toilets were overloaded. They had no food. They couldn't get anything on and off. It was a complete disaster. Every once in a while, you see these stories about food poisoning inside these decks and everyone gets sick. You see the stories about it rocking too much. This case, it was rocking so much and the storm was so bad, it was blowing the windows out. You couldn't even hide in your room. The windows were being blown out. Oh, man. Images and videos posted on social media showed furniture sliding around, panels falling from the ceilings, waves of up to 26 feet. Whew. Window panes were broken. Water was coming in. Pure chaos. No thanks. I'm going to skip that altogether. Has anyone had a bad experience? There's a lot of people that go on cruises. I know this is a rarity. And I know there's not a lot of people that have this same experience, but I just assume if I'm going to ever go on one, this is going to be the thing that happens to me. And I don't want any part of it. And anyone I've talked to that goes on a cruise, oh, it is so great. Oh, it is so wonderful. It's so relaxing. Oh, just wait. All you can eat buffets. Oh, so just eat and entertainment. Oh, this will be so great. No, thanks. I'm going to pass. I'm going to stop you right there, dog. What's that? American Idol. I'm going to stop you right there, dog. I'm not going to fall for it. Doesn't matter because it seems like for every, I don't know, 10 people, there's probably one that had a bad experience. I don't like those odds. 10% on a boat and I can't do anything out there. Plus, I hate swimming. Swimming to me is the most boring of anything you can do to exercise. You're moving slow, you have to tread, and you have that, you know, you might die. Yeah, if you just give up, you might die. I don't float. I just sink. Yeah, you got that little bit of danger mixed into that. I would rather stay above ground, and I would rather do something that's exciting, you know, like run and play basketball or soccer, a little hockey or whatever. There's so many other better sports. Even bowling's a better sport. But you get underwater, and you can barely move, and everything's so slow, and it's so boring, and you're only restricted to this little part. No thanks. So I'm going to stay away from all of it altogether, and hopefully no broken windows in the next cruise ship that goes out. Did you see what Barbara Streisand was saying about Michael Jackson? There's another thing that came out. There's an interview on Friday that was released from Barbara Streisand overseas. She said a few things about Michael Jackson that were questionable at best, and we're going to talk about that coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Here we are, Sunday night into Monday morning. Exciting week planned, really. As you mentioned, we have a flat earther that will join us on the show Monday night, 11 o'clock, right after the Blues game. Mark Sargent, you may have seen him highlighted on Behind the Curve, one of the, if not the main character of that documentary. And I was watching some of his videos on YouTube, and he was a likable guy in the documentary. A couple of things I saw in those YouTube videos I wasn't too impressed with, so I don't even know if I should bring it up to him, but we'll see. He's a pretty open dude, and he said he would take your phone calls, which we'll do tomorrow night, which I'm really excited for. You see the report Barbara Streisand was talking to some foreign media, The Times, a British newspaper, where she mentioned a few different things. She's under fire for her comments about the two men accusing Michael Jackson of sexually assaulting them as children. Wade Robson and James Safechuck, whose allegations against Michael Jackson resurfaced in a recent documentary, Leaving Neverland. And here's my thoughts on that, because I did this on the show when it came to Michael Jackson. The thing was, I haven't met anyone that's watched this documentary yet. I guess it's popular on HBO, and a lot of people have seen it. I just haven't. And, you know, it doesn't really... My whole thought of this was, there are some things that are questionable that are being brought up. Number one, they denied this in the past. Number two, you know, you have someone that's dead, so he can't defend himself. Number three, you know, could there be other motivations for bringing this up now because of those other couple of factors? And, you know, you just don't know. You really don't know when it comes to those things. So it doesn't mean I believe or disbelieve or whatever it is. I'm just saying there are some things that you can question of why now, why do this? And Barbara Streisand completely throws all of that right out the window. She doesn't care about that. She also doesn't care if he didn't do it or did do it or whatever. It doesn't matter. You know what Michael Jackson, or you know what Barbara Streisand's account of this was? Let me read a quote for you. Quote, his sexual needs were his sexual needs coming from whatever childhood he has or whatever DNA he has. You can say molested, but those children, as you heard say, grown-up Robinson and Safechuck, they were thrilled to be there. They both married, and they both have children, so it didn't kill them. Barbara Streisand! So you're saying that we're not going to, you know, even if it happened, who cares? They're still alive. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? That's what Barbara Streisand's point is with all of this. Who cares? So what? So what if you're molested as a child? You moved on. You're alive. You seem all right now. Get over it. What? Barbara, what is your problem? Seriously. So she's 76 years old. She made the comments to that British newspaper. Said that Jackson's sexual needs were his sexual needs. The director of Leaving Neverland seemed pretty shocked online and pointed out, said, quote, it didn't kill him, Barbara Streisand. Did you really say that? What? And people were wondering, is this another one of those fake news hit jobs that you see from the overseas newspapers where they just make up quotes from a celebrity? This happens all the time, apparently, where they make up quotes. They did it to The Rock. And The Rock came out and was talking about something, and he said, no, I never said this sort of thing. So you wonder if they did that. But then, no. Barbara Streisand came back out and had to address the comments, and it wasn't really Let me read more about some of her comments. Oh, absolutely. That was painful, says Streisand, who told the paper she met Jackson a couple of times and turned down his request of a duet. He was very sweet, very childlike. And, you know, continues to say these things, and I don't know. It's just weird. Who takes that approach anyway? Whose first inkling to defend someone is to say, well, you know, you need to understand. You know, he had his own needs, and he might have liked children, so whatever. What a crazy world we live in. You know, that we're even justifying or trying to find ways to defend this sort of actions. And it's not like there is some sort of question to the accounts of the accusers or the motives or whatever it is. It's the, he's got needs. Hey. Another person on Twitter wrote, "What you said about Michael Jackson's victims is seriously disgusting. Victims are not thrilled to be molested." Yep. They are not thrilled to be molested. Ain't that the truth? It's Barbara Streisand, everyone. Barbara Streisand. Oh, I hope that's the first thing that pops up when everyone Googles her name in the future. A year from now, 5 years from now, whatever it is. You know, I hope that is synonymous with her name moving forward. What a crazy thing to say. We got a little time. We could do another one of these whole nother stories from Kevin Kleen. I've always really liked these. Kevin Kleen's got two whole nother stories out there. How about we do Chicken on the Loose? That sounds like a good one. If you don't know about Kevin Kleen's whole nother stories, you got to listen to these things. I play them here through the overnight, but they're primarily made for the morning show. So Total Information AM normally gets first dibs on these things. But I got permission to play him here on the overnight. I love him so much.
Nugget is a chicken. He is our BCI chicken for our Wing Ding, which is our big fundraiser. So, yes, everyone.
How did the chicken get in the warehouse?
The chicken, he has ways. He's like Santa Claus. He has ways. He will get in this warehouse, and he will know what you are doing.
So he wasn't brought here. He comes on his own from time to time?
Absolutely. He's an independent chicken.
And is it he or she? Does it lay eggs?
No, but it actually eats chicken. It's a chicken that eats chicken.
It's a cannibalistic chicken on the loose.
Absolutely, absolutely. That chicken loves chicken.
And now with Senator Josh Hawley here, I guess there is some concern that the chicken might make an appearance.
Yeah, a random chicken streaking is not out of the question. It could happen.
Did you do a chicken sweep ahead of the event?
We did. We looked for him everywhere, but
any feathers or any kind of indication?
Oh yeah, there's always something around. A feather, a shirt. There's always something letting our employees know that the chicken is always here and can come out at any time. It's a very spontaneous chicken.
And how do the employees feel about the chicken?
Oh, they love the chicken. Sometimes he'll ride a bike through the warehouse.
He'll ride a bike?
Yeah, we have bikes in the back. He'll ride a bike with a flag through the warehouse.
Wait a minute. I can't picture that. He's on a little bike?
Yes, the chicken will ride
like
a bike.
A little baby bike?
No, it's like a large tricycle. It's a large tricycle, and the chicken will ride it right through the warehouse.
Now I think you're kidding me.
No, I'm dead serious.
How can a chicken work the pedals if the feet aren't long enough?
This chicken manages to do everything. It's great. Our employees love it. Stressful day, chicken will come out, everybody's clapping and cheering.
So is this somebody in a chicken suit?
I mean, I plead the fifth.
Have you and the chicken ever been seen together?
I have a close relationship with the chicken, that's all I will say.
So you are the chicken lady.
I might be the chicken lady, yes.
And all this time I thought there was a real chicken on the loose.
You would think. I mean,
I've been had.
I put on that costume and I literally become
You have chicken. Out whole nother story to whole nother story.
I know. I literally become the chicken. It's a persona.
That's Kat Warner, the crafty chicken lady of BCI and St. Peter's. With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
What a weird story. Kevin Killeen. What do you mean, the little chicken legs? How does the little chicken legs move a tricycle? Oh, you're the chicken. Kevin finds some of the most interesting people. I love it. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Overnight America and Ryan Recker continues on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Got a couple of good interviews for you. One next hour happens to be of guest Stephen Harkey of ViviPay. Interesting concept, poor people in cashless societies. What do you do if you can't open up an account and you got to pay for something? Yeah, well, I guess he has a solution. We'll talk to him about that and what he thinks could happen with something like that. I got another report here. You hear it in the news. Alex Degman will cover it again. I'm going to guess here at 1 o'clock, but St. Louis Councilman county councilmen say federal subpoena issued looking into Stanger's administration. Well, it's about time this happened. I think we're just waiting for the announcement on something like this. It was only a matter of time. With all of the questionable behavior around Steve Stanger during the election, what happened after some of these deals, and then not showing up, not cooperating, not caring about his job. Yeah, it was only a matter of time before that tipped off someone at the feds. So St. Louis, and this is from a write-up on the St. Louis Public Radio. They did a great write-up on this. The county councilman said Sunday that a federal subpoena was issued last week seeking information about St. Louis County Executive Steve Stanger's administration. Apparently, during one of the meetings, they read this letter out loud. And it's funny because I'm going to just take a wild guess and say Steve Stanger skipped that one too. So the day, one of the days he's not there, wouldn't that have been something if he found out about this while they were reading this letter? And he just happened to be there the one time he shows up to one of these council meetings. So Councilman Sam Page of Creve Corps told the Post-Dispatch that a federal grand jury issued a subpoena to St. Louis County. Page read the subpoena during the meeting last week, and Councilor Peter Crane was the one to do it. Among other things, the subpoena sought Stanger's call history, text, and emails with employees regarding contracts. Because don't forget, the contract in St. Anne, the Northwest Plaza, yeah, it's a great building, but it's a highly unusual long-term contract with some real questionable donations from the people who own that property. Really weird timing to all of this, not just to Steve Stanger, but the people around him too. So yeah, I can see why I would see why people want to look further into this sort of thing. Stanger's communication staffers did not respond to the public radio. Stanger's adversaries have long accused him of granting contracts to campaign donors. For instance, Mark Montavani made the Northwest Plaza deal a major emphasis of his unsuccessful Democrat primary campaign. Stanger also made under fire for how he contracted with the St. Louis Economic Development Partnership or interacted with them. Let's see. The Ethics Committee and the Council have taken more than a little heat for its efforts in attempting to bring accountability and transparency to government, county government. So this subpoena validates the council and the committee's concerns in those regards. You know, when I look at these things and I just look at how obvious it would be to look into the timing and the money that went his way, that's undeniable. They can say it's unrelated, but man, you don't see that as suspicious. So Alex Degman's going to have more. And the thing with all of this is, how does that play with the Better Together proposal? Because Steve Stanger would be, by default, even if he is kicked out of office, would become the Metro Mayor. And people don't want him to be the Metro Mayor. People that even voted for him don't think it's a good idea for him to be Metro Mayor. Better Together proponents would say that the existing officials serve as better leaders because they're able to already be put into a position where they're, you know, they already work with the people, they know the area, they're in the system. You know, it's best fit for this sort of thing. So other people would say he is unfit to be Metro Mayor. No one voted him to be Metro Mayor. And thus, with this corruption, and let's see what this investigation brings forward, what if we find out that he is someone that shouldn't be Metro Mayor and can't be trusted to be? Then what happens with this Better Together plan? Wouldn't this be crazy? The thing that takes down Better Together would be the person that they thought they can trust as Metro Mayor, Steve Stanger. And who knows what other deals the Better Together people made with Steve Stanger. What if, okay, let me put on a tinfoil hat. This seems like absolute crazy talk. Sure, I get it. Because, you know, we dabble in crazy talk every once in a while. So just keep in mind, this is just me saying it to say it. There's no actual weight behind what I'm about to say. But what if there was some deal by the Better Together people with Steve Stanger? What if they made some sort of pact ahead of time? Let's just say they came up with some sort of grand idea of, you know, we're gonna exalt you to Metro Mayor, the king of the Metro. And we're not gonna propose that there's any sort of public input or vote on who becomes this highly powerful position, who becomes part of that highly powerful position. You know, in exchange, you'll just have to do what we tell you to do, Mr. Steve Stanger. And who's to say he would say no based on all of the questionable activity around him to begin with? I don't know. I can see that happening. Oh, here's another story. I'm going to put that aside because Alex Degman's going to be the one to cover most of that. Here's another tech story. I found this pretty fascinating. I don't know if I've ever been inside of a Volvo car. I can't remember ever actually driving one. I can't say I've seen many in person either. It's, you know, every once in a while you see them on the roads. To me, they're not a popular car. But I'm not against them until I read this story. As soon as next year, Volvo's cars will be able to pull you over automatically if they detect you're not paying attention. So this is how it works. They put cameras inside the car. They monitor you as you're driving. If these cameras feel like you're distracted, it'll warn you. Or it doesn't necessarily mean a warning. Or it'll force you to pull over your car. So the Swedish company announced that its future cars already is going to cap the max speed at 112 miles an hour, as long as you can get up to 88, because that's how much you need to get back to the future, of course. But now the company says it's introducing in-car cameras and sensors that monitor the driver's signs of distraction or intoxication, which includes looking away from the road for too long, keeping your hands off the steering wheel, weaving, or reacting too slowly while driving. Wow, those are a lot of different factors. Let's just look at how that would play if you were driving here in St. Louis, Missouri. So let's just say you're going down 64, 40, or you're going down 70 or 44, or whatever. You're just driving, and you're driving like you belong here in St. Louis. You're someone that is very used to the way people interact on the roadways. You don't use your turn signal. Yeah, you're just going to pull in front of someone. Why? Because it's par for the course here in St. Louis. So let's see, how many times would this car pull you over in a given day? Not you in general, but you as in generic, stereotypical St. Louis driver. Looking away from the road for too long, they're pulling you over. Keeping the hands off the steering wheel. Gotta say, I've seen a lot of people two-handed on their cell phone. There was one person in particular, what was it? I think it was on Saturday. Went to go get some frozen yogurt with my son. And driving back to the house, there was a guy that was going about 10 miles below the speed limit. And I finally have to go pull around him. And I have to honk at this guy. And as I am pulling around him, he has two hands on his cell phone looking down at it and not paying attention to the road. That car had been pulled right over. But who knows? Me trying to pass this guy, I might have been pulled over too. Also says weaving through lanes. Every day I see that. There's not a day that goes by when I'm driving into the stations here at KMOX that I don't see someone weaving between lanes or reacting too slowly while driving as well. So depending on the severity of the distraction, the car will warn the driver, possibly at first, and then call a Volvo support center and then reduce the speed of the car. So it punishes you if their sensors detect you're not paying attention. If the behavior continues, the car will pull over to a safe location and stop driving. That's when you have to apparently plead with a Volvo support person in order to get your privileges to drive the vehicle back. Not a chance I'm buying one of these cars that has a feature like that. Not a chance. Not that I'm for distracted driving. Not that I'm for drunk driving. Not that I'm for any of those things. It's just, you're telling me you're going to implant spy cameras into my car to monitor the way I handle the car, and then you're going to be the one to decide if I'm allowed to drive your car, and then I have to ask for permission to buy and drive the car that I just purchased. I got to ask you, oh, please let me drive this car because your camera sensors thought I was doing something I wasn't. Oh, please, please, please. You're buying a car that's going to restrict you? No, thank you. This is just ridiculous. So the useful tool, they say, is coming in 2021, not for... Is there a car enthusiast that would like that feature? Who would raise their hand and say, oh, I want that feature? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you would actually like that feature, or better yet, you can tweet at me, at Ryan Recker on Twitter. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast, kmox.com/overnight. You could also find it on your favorite podcast app, like radio.com, if you're looking for one. And then when you have it and you've searched me on there, just make sure to hit that subscribe button. It definitely helps us. It helps us. And by the way, all the stuff we put up online is free. So that's pretty neat. Oh, you'll like this. Another little wrinkle to the whole college cheating scandal when it comes to the admissions. And poor people in a cashless society, we'll get to VivipAy, who has a solution to that. The UFO community still believes, an interesting piece out of a Philadelphia newspaper I want to talk about coming up on Overnight America, Camo X.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.